B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
She's all right. That girl's all right with me. Yeah. Hey, 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 hey. She's a super freak. Super freak. She's super freaky. Yow. Temptation sing.
Are you guys done? Are you done? Are you done?
Not even close.
I don't like Trey. I don't like you being in cahoots.
What do you mean?
Jamie, you and Trey in cahoots?
Trey gave me the yo. Follow me over here.
All right, now here's the deal.
He pulled me around the corner. He's like, I put Super Freak in the folder. Open with that.
Now here's the deal. Here's the deal, you scumbags. Here's the deal. All right. So I get word that that story reached the Mike Missinelli program. All right. Bob, you informed me yesterday.
Uh huh.
So I was like, well, let me take a listen. I was told later in our little post show meeting that Natalie had then relayed the story to Mike. So Mike heard the promo that runs at around 5:30 on this radio station, like today on the Fanatic, and it's like the guys in the morning made that's what she said jokes, and then next up, you know, that kind of thing. And then so the story evidently made the promo, the story of my allegedly. My little cousin being a freak in the bed, as her husband pointed out during the wedding we were at. So then Mike hears it and says, hey, what was Farzetta talking about? And then Natalie starts informing, but I think the way Natalie told the story, she made it seem like I was the best man. About my cousin being a freak. In the sack, which is not at all what happened. So if only
that makes it really weird.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Now it got weird.
Yeah. So really it got weird.
Yeah.
You guys have been teeing off on this like there's no tomorrow, and now it's weird. Well, here's the deal. If only we had a day where a bunch of hosts would be in studio where I could clear my name. Oh, what do you know? It's the 10th anniversary special of 97.5 The Fanatic as an FM station. We will have Tyrone on. Tyrone Johnson at 7 o'clock. We will have Natalie Agonoff in studio at 8 o'clock as well. Andrew Salchunas will be joining us in that same hour. Salchunas will be in with us. And then we'll have Rob Monty and Joe Stazak in the 8 o'clock hour. And then Mike Missinelli himself and Jason Mertedis. Little reunion of sorts here on this program for Jason and Mike. That'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 o'clock, they'll be joining us in studio for that. So not too bad. As for the rest of the lineup today on the All-Star Day, Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertedis do their thing as per usual at 10 o'clock from 10 to 2. They'll be joined throughout that show by Mike Missinelli. Tim McManus will stop by. Natalie will be there as well. Bob Cooney, you drop on by that program, I believe, at 11 o'clock. Tyrone Johnson will be hanging out there as well. Jamie, you'll be in there at noon with Joe Torti.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I'll be in there. It says 1 o'clock, but I'll probably 1:15.
All right.
I got to take Lil Toots to get her shots today.
Two months old.
2 months old yesterday.
Little recommendation that worked well for us.
Wow, what's that?
Breastfeed or formula while getting the shot.
I will pass that on to my wife.
Yes.
So she
distract.
Okay.
Smoke bomb.
They will have no idea what hit them.
Yeah, they're dumb, those babies.
They get it from us. I guess that's how it works. And then 2 o'clock, 2 to 6. Obviously, Mike Missinelli with Tyrone and Natalie, per usual. Then Anthony's in there from 2 to 3. Jason Martinez 2 to 3 as well. And then Dean Lynham comes in from 3 to 4. Trey, you'll be in there from 4 to 5.
4 to 5.
4 to 6. Devon Givens, and then 5 to 6. Yours truly will be in with Mike Missinelli. Looking forward to a lineup all day long of all stars, if you will, here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sports on FM. It just sounds better. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that made a way. I looked for that on YouTube. Yeah, wasn't there. Yeah, I looked for it. I was hoping that we could use that drop throughout the day. But aside from all the festivities going on here at 97.5 The Fanatic, it's almost as if we need to hold a parade in Philadelphia. for a couple of different reasons. And it has nothing to do with the championship. What we need to do here in Philadelphia is hold a parade, because we live in a world where Ben Simmons makes threes and Carter Hart just throws shutouts willy-nilly wherever he wants to throw them. And last night he threw one in the devil's face at the Wells Fargo Center. And I'll say this. There were people tailgating at the Wells Fargo Center around 3:30. People were like in the parking lot, ready to go. The tents were up, rainy day. I watched the tent from my desk at NBC. Watched the tent be lifted up by the wind and thrown across a couple of cars.
Wow.
And then the guys got smart and they grabbed a couple of sandbags.
Yeah.
Tied them to the bottom. Then they had this. They had Saran wrap. And they were wrapping the tents to block the wind.
Wow.
How about that?
Saran wrap's not cheap.
No, it's not.
That's a couple of Burt Reynolds hanging out, huh?
What the hell? They blocked the wind, and it was just people out there all excited, people coming in the Wells Fargo Center pumped up, waiting outside the door to go in, and sure enough, the Flyers did not disappoint with a 4-0 victory.
Rip.
So our
great question.
Our theory was like some guy worked for UPS.
Okay.
And they had a lot of the extra...
Was it like more wrapping, like the shipping wrapping than it was actual little Saran wrap things?
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, it would have to be.
I looked out, and it just looked like somebody had like enclosed them in some kind of quarantine bubble. Like,
maybe they were just hotboxing it.
Maybe. It's a lot of Saran wrap, though.
Whatever it was, the excitement was running wild at the Wells Fargo Center. The last two nights. One with the Sixers taking care of business, with Ben Simmons hitting a three, and the other with Carter Hart having a nice little shutout for himself. 25 saves and an incredible game for the Flyers to open up their season at home, as opposed to Prague, which was, I don't know if you caught that game, it was about 4 months ago, and then they finally had their home opener, and now they go out on the road trip for three games on the West Coast.
Yeah.
But could not have been a better debut for a guy that we've been waiting for 40 years, like Carter Hart. Incredible night for the Flyers last night.
And they're fun to watch. Like, it's not, you know, you grind it out. Oh, they got to win. They won their first two. Okay. This is different. They're fun to watch. They're fast. They move. And you have a premier goalie, what appears to be. Yeah, you're right. This is something we haven't had very often in 40 years.
Trey, did you do that hockey?
Absolutely.
How'd you feel about that hockey?
I feel really good about it. It looks like they're communicating a little bit better on the defensive side of the ice.
There you go.
I almost said defensive side of the ball.
I know. Yeah. No,
defensive side of the ice. It just seems like there's a little bit better communication. Like they're covering Carter Hart a little bit better on the back end.
Mm. Well, because you got rid of some scrubs that drove me absolutely insane for the past couple of years. Well, and Gudas and McDonald.
Were they the
Did that just sound like I really taught some real hockey there?
Yeah.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Zamboners all out today there, Jamie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, tripping over them.
The Zamboners were saying to people, let's have some optimism here.
Oh, the Flyers are making the playoffs.
Well, I agreed with you when we said that on air, but there's a lot of, there's more of the same, bringing back the same core. There's a lot of negativity amongst at least the Twitter Flyers fan base, which is fair. Like, I get it, but let's try and be optimistic. Carter Hart's about to take... hopefully a pretty big step in his career. And you got a legit second line with Kevin Hayes kind of stabilizing that. And Travis Konecny looks like he's primed to have a huge year. And, you know, let's go. It's exciting.
Zamboners are out.
Yeah. You're happy about something. I'm always happy.
Oh, okay.
I would just like to point out.
Oh, yeah.
That Big Cam Thunder, Little Jersey, is 2-0.
That's
good
true.
Point.
That's
good point.
True.
Going all right now.
Yeah, you're welcome, Carter Hart. Trey's rocking the tight jersey.
That's right.
The Schmedium, if you will.
The Schmedium jersey. It's 2-0.
Okay, now it's time to talk about something more depressing. So the Eagles. I went back.
As they say in football, let's do that football.
I went back and watched last year's Minnesota game.
Mm. Oh, did you have fun?
No, it was pretty terrible.
Mm.
And I remember doing the show after that game last year. And I think that was the game where they continuously talked about shooting themselves in the foot. That was the game where they had a fumble from Jay Ajayi in the red zone. It was a first and goal, if I'm not mistaken. And he fumbled it away, and they ended up scoring on the next ball in that possession. The Minnesota Vikings did. There was, a fumble from Carson Wentz, or an interception behind the line of scrimmage. Right into the hands of Linville Joseph, who ran it in for a touchdown. So many mistakes. There were drops in that game. Go figure. Mm-hmm. There was, as I pointed out yesterday, there was a play from Carson Wentz. There was multiple plays from Carson Wentz where he basically focused in on Zach Ertz, quote-unquote. He had 10 receptions in the game. But now you're going into Minnesota, a place where obviously you won the Super Bowl, and I don't think any player's really making a big deal out of that. Malcolm Jenkins flat out said, yeah, I'm basically forgetting about that and just moving on. It doesn't even cross my mind unless you guys ask me about it. But they're going into Minnesota for, I hate saying this right now, but this is their biggest test of the season.
Uh-huh. I think they know that.
Like, even more so than the Packers. The Packers test, big test, they passed that test with flying colors. But their offense wasn't clicking on all cylinders. And really, the weakest part of the Eagles is what they were doing in their secondary at that time. Aaron Rodgers wasn't carving guys up. Their defense was the star of that show, the Green Bay Packers. Now it's going to be a matter of whether or not the Eagles' offense, I truly believe, will be able to keep. And this is how I felt for the last couple of weeks, will be able to keep up with the Vikings' offense. Because they are a quick strike offense. They can score from anywhere on the field and all that stuff. But when you have a guy that can set up that pass as good as Dalvin Cook, that's where you have to start really looking around to see how good you really are. And I think this game is going to come down to how well Carson Wentz plays. If the wide receivers don't get a case of the dropsies again, it's all going to come down to Carson and how high he can make this offense fly. And that's what I think most people are going to be focusing on in this game. If they decide to actually do the smart thing, what they should do is try to control it a little bit, control the line of scrimmage, establish that run. Trey, when we talked to Donovan on Monday, he talked about that same thing. If they're going to win this game against the Vikings, they got to make sure that they establish that rhythm and that all starts up front with the offensive line. But right after that, I mean, that's the obvious thing. You're going to have to see Carson Wentz absolutely ball out in this game. And if Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders can get it going on the ground, and hopefully they try that, by all means, let them run, let them eat.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, if it turns into a shootout, that's where Carson's going to have to be on top of his game.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to be on top of his game because, I mean, you know, you're going to have to try to keep this offense off the field, especially if you have a defense that's struggling in the secondary. You know, of course, our run defense is where it is, but when we get into this, when we get into the trench talk, we're going to start pointing some of this stuff out. But, you know, you're going to need some of the secondary to really play. They're going to have to come up big because they do have some big-time receivers over there on the other side of the ball. And they've been complaining, and everybody's been, hey, you know, Cousins is trying to figure out, hey, man, he's already saying, I'm sorry for not getting you guys the ball. You know, I'm apologizing.
So weird.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to make a point to try to make some, you know, they have some deep threats out there that can take the top off of defense, that can make some big plays. And, oh, yeah, Cook, you know, he's nasty out there. Mm-hmm.
And I like guys that will acknowledge the test that's in front of them. And yesterday in the locker room, Fletcher Cox acknowledged the test that is in front of this defense because they've been, you know, starting to eat, as they say. They've been very aggressive. And Jim Schwartz, like, if you were to watch this defense play over the last couple of weeks and not know anything about the coaching staff, you would have thought that they fired Jim Schwartz because this is not at all Jim Schwartz's defense. This is a blitz-happy defense is what it's turned into. And it's not at all the Jim Schwartz that we have seen over the last 3 years.
And good for him.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the knock on Jim Schwartz was he's never going to change. He's always going to run his system. No matter who the players are, he's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. Well, he got decimated by injuries, both in the defensive backfield and up front. Decimated by injuries. You know, multiple guys out in the backfield for him. Two of your main defensive linemen out for this season. He had to change up. He has to play to what his team is now. And his team wasn't getting to the quarterback, so he changed it up. That's the sign to me. It always has been. That's the sign of a great coach. You make the adjustments on the fly according to your personnel, and he's done it.
Yeah, and they've been decimated. You look at the defensive line, we can't mention it enough with Malik Jackson, who was a huge acquisition in the offseason.
Yeah.
Tim Jernigan, obviously you're going to be missing for another couple of weeks here. And since then, he has made sure that his secondary is getting into the backfield. He's made sure that guys like even Zach Brown are trying to get through the line of scrimmage and you know, cause havoc behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Like, that's what you want to see from defensive coordinator. You want to be able to see from any coach the adjustments they can make when everything is changing on the fly. And then after this, I look at Carson Wentz first and foremost because I think it is going to come down to how he plays in this game. And that could be easy to say about any quarterback. But with this one where I do expect a lot of points to be scored, I want to see Carson on point. The other part of this has to do with the continued play of Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas is a guy who we've been singing the praises of now for a couple of weeks. And yesterday in the locker room, they tried bringing up to him his Pro Football Focus ranking, which is one of the best in football right now, right? And he's like, don't care. Nope, nope, nope. I think it was John Clark that tried to ask him the question. He was like,
John Clark.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth is what he went to, basically. And he doesn't want to hear it. I got a chance to talk to Rasul yesterday in the locker room as well. His confidence has never been higher, and that's good. But he still has that same mindset that he had a couple of weeks ago that I told you guys about, where he just doesn't want to be on the first quote-unquote Greyhound bus out of here. This is a guy that still wants to prove himself, and there's no better way to do this than when you have two guys that are going to get the amount of targets Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are going to get, and when you have two guys that obviously have that high of a skill set. So he knows what's in front of him as well. You talk about Fletcher Cox knowing what's in front of him as far as a challenge. Then you also talk about Rasul Douglas knowing that, hey, look, he's played some good games, even against Julio Jones. A couple of plays he had against him, he played well against him. Ever since then, ever since really week two, he has been the best corner on this team by far and the most consistent. Looking at the other side of the ball, not offensively, but, I mean, away from him as a corner.
That's the concern.
Who plays the other corner?
Yeah, who's the other side?
Did you hear what Doug Peterson said yesterday about Sidney Jones?
No.
Sidney Jones, Mr. Hamstring Injury.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We can talk about the legitimacy of this or whatever.
Ugh.
He talked about pushing through injury. Doug Peterson talked about Sidney Jones as an athlete learning how to push through injury. And he said it in a way that I thought the coach was calling out his player in the most subtle way possible. Where he's saying, look, dude, everyone's hurt. Everyone's got an injury. Everyone has something that they have to try to get over. Your turn. This is your turn to push through something to make sure you can get on the field and help your teammates. Now, I don't know the severity of it. Obviously, I'm not around Sidney Jones all the time and whatever. But the way, and we'll hear it later in the show, the way Doug Peterson talked about this injury with Sidney Jones, it was in the same tone of, hey, everybody on this team is going through something. Mm-hmm. They're pushing through to try to help this squad right now. It's time for you to step up, young buck.
Hey, you know, Trey's been calling that from the beginning. It's the got beat hamstring injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got beat long down the sidelines, pushed guy out of bounds, all of a sudden hands on the hamstring, got to come out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
For a coach to do that, for a player to do that, we're all told, as reporters we're told, you never know somebody else's injury. You don't. So to question it is almost forbidden. When you do, you're damn sure that you're making the right choice in questioning it. If Doug Peterson's doing it, he's seen it enough.
Mm-hmm. All right, some other things I want to make sure we kick around in the baseball world. Where the Phillies, the Phillies still, do they exist? What's going on with
who?
The Phillies still are around, right?
I watched that Walker Buehler guy last night and I went, you know, Phillies probably should have taken him.
Oh, I'm not even, like, yes. They're not.
This is my problem. I can't watch the MLB playoffs. All I see is Phillies ineptitude when I watch the playoffs. That's all I see. I'm, like, blacked out by Phillies just awfulness.
I'm with you there, but I'm not even talking about the playoffs yet and Clayton Kershaw.
Gabe Kapler.
Choking
who?
Again.
Yeah, he's coming back. We might as well just accept it.
That's definitely happening.
If they fired him now at this point, it would be weird.
Yeah.
If they fire him now, they have to have somebody right away. Yeah, we're firing Gabe and we're bringing him. Boom.
All right, so does it give you confidence then that maybe they do fire Gabe Kapler and right here is Buck Showalter?
Ugh.
Like, in all seriousness.
No, I just throw up in my mouth.
The second most likely scenario in my mind now is, okay, number one most likely is that everyone stays. And they basically just say, yeah, this is what we're doing. We fired the pitching coach. We fired the hitting coach during the season. We've made plenty of change. We can win with Gabe. So that's the most likely scenario now that I see for the Phillies. After that, the next most likely, I think, is Gabe's out. Buck Showalter slides right in. And I'm not saying I'm rooting for that by any means. I said yesterday throughout the show, if it was my own poll, my own Twitter poll, I would say I'd be 51% happy it was Buck Showalter, 49% happy it wasn't Gabe Kapler anymore. Like, that's not an overwhelming reason to fire somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why are you so convinced Showalter? Because of the history he has?
Because of the history. Because,
with Klentak,
because
yeah.
Either way, I think we all know at this point that Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak are back, right?
Yeah,
I would assume so.
And you know, Joe Maddon's gone. You know, Girardi's gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going for, like, the veteran baseball guy,
yeah.
Buck's probably going to be one of the top names.
And who does he have a history with right now?
Andy McPhail.
That's what I thought. So, it's already decided as far as I'm concerned. It's either going to be Gabe Kapler or it's going to be Buck Showalter. To me, I don't know why you would take this long a time to figure out who should be your manager.
They're really waiting to hear back from Udabray Ramos. He's been away on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Once he comes in and talks to Middleton, then he'll make his final decision.
Well, no, he's back. It's the translator that's on vacation. Yeah.
Diego?
Yeah. You got to get to everybody, Mark. Well, you got to ask every player.
Cole Irvin's had a bit of a flu, from what I understand, so they haven't really talked to him.
It's tough to get him on the cell phone.
It is tough. Mm-hmm. He's been in Alaska, from what I heard, just hanging, just chilling.
The groundskeeper has yet to get back to Middleton's emails yet, so we're waiting to hear what he has to say. Mm. You know, got to get all the opinions you can.
Well, he's on vacation. Yeah. Because they say when the ball hits the grass, if the grass is cut a certain type of way, it makes the ball change direction.
Mm-hmm. Especially with this new juice baseball they were using this past year. No, man, it's unpredictable.
Stuff. Yeah, you got to take all of this into account.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing they got going on there. But before we even get to the baseball postseason, I think what the Phillies are going to end up doing.
You're just saying baseball postseason gives me shivers.
He's
a miserable person.
You are a bit curmudgeon-y today.
Yeah. Not just today. When it comes to baseball, yeah.
Is it because of the root canal thing?
No. Just watching the MLB playoffs.
Having to get your teeth fixed, eh?
Watching the Nationals move on to the NLCS.
What if you go get the root canal? Now, I've never had a root canal. Do they put you out for that? Are you out?
No, you go wait.
Local anesthesia, and then you can feel like the bone saw. Yeah, it's good time.
At least it's not one of your greeters, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are already fake. I got those knocked out a long time ago.
hello, how you doing, teeth? You know, like those, you know, when you have a problem with those, then
that's
you
nice. Really trouble, in trouble. Yeah. Yeah.
Your show teeth.
Yeah, your show teeth. Yeah.
Your greeters.
What happens, Jamie, if you're getting your teeth worked on and, like, the dentist has the MLB network on and they're just highlights of the postseason?
Start cursing uncontrollably.
What will be worse for you?
There couldn't be a worse scenario.
Yeah, that's probably the worst scenario.
The worst scenario is then across the TV, like the scroll is like Gabe Kapler coming back as Phillies manager.
See, I wouldn't be as upset as a lot of people.
All right. But the fact that it took this long.
The optics of all of this is horrible.
It's Gabe Watch. Day, whatever the hell we're on, day 11 of Gabe Watch is what we're on. And that's what sucks. It's just being dragged out. So here's the crazy scenario that I do see happening. And it's not so much crazy to think that Gabe Kapler.
It's Gabe Watch.
Oh. By the way, I called you guys out for being lying SOBs on Hasselhoff being at FanFest.
He was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be there.
His book tour changed.
Yeah. And apparently he has a beef with you.
He's got a beef with me?
That's what Coach told me.
I guess his album was double platinum over in where?
Germany.
Germany, he's huge.
Knocked down that wall.
Yeah, he
did.
He defeated communism.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And I think the Nazis
as well.
With
his shirt off.
Of course. You have chest hair like that. You gotta flaunt it.
You gotta let it go.
What the hell was I talking about? I don't even remember.
Gabe Kapler,
your cousin.
The crazy scenario.
Which, you know what? One of your cousins hit me on Instagram.
Oh, there we go.
No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Nice. She reached out to me.
Oh. She?
Yeah, she.
Oh.
Is it her?
Is that a side?
Why are you looking at me like that? What's all the side?
Trey didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. Yeah. She invited She's me to freak. Come and hang out in the cave. In her salt cave.
All right, now hold on a second. Pull up that DM right now.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
He's gonna call him a bastard.
He does have a cousin with a salt cave. I remember.
All right. So, how freaky is your family?
Well, so this is the Italian side. So things are about to get freaky.
Salt caves. I don't even know about that.
I can legitimize. Yeah, that's legitimate. Damn it. No, that's my cousin. She has a salt cave.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, yeah, I would love to come and hang out in your cave.
I was just
let me know when it's a good time, you know?
Let me just state for the record, these cousins, the one from the speech and the one from the...
I'm just saying, hey,
different size of the family.
And the one from the cave, they don't know each other, all right?
Okay, so this is the non-freaky side of the family?
The freaky...
Yeah, you could go there.
She invited me to come hang out in the cave.
We have been trying to get a date down where we all go to the cave as one big happy show.
Cave.
Yeah, the salt cave is supposed to help your brain and stuff.
Yes, yes. Clears the mind.
Clears the mind. All right. And it helps makes you feel good.
Yes.
All right. Oh, jeez. I don't know why I talk. I'm sorry. But Gabe Kapler...
He likes the salt
cave. He's been in salt cave. Yeah.
Exactly. No
question. Yeah.
He's got some Himalayan healing salts and all that stuff going on.
Oh, you can cook a steak on a Himalayan salt.
I believe you can,
Here's the deal with Gabe. I think the most likely scenario right now is that he comes back and they hold a press conference and they will legitimize taking 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, deciding whether or not he was the right manager for the job and come away with he was the right manager for the job. If you have to ask those questions for 2.5 weeks...
He ain't the right man for the job.
Then he ain't the right man for the job!
Is there a chance? You ever been in a press conference where the coach, it takes longer for him to come out than normal?
Yes.
And then finally he'll come out and he'll say, sorry, guys, you know, I had something going on. I had to take a phone. Do you think that's what's going to happen? He's going to come and sit down. Sorry, guys, it took me a few weeks. Plane ran out of gas. You know, something really stupid, and you're going to look and say, like, seriously? He's got his, he has, his opening comment has to be a reason that it took over 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be anything that you say, oh, okay, yeah, got it. All right, cool.
Well, it depends on who's doing it. If it's Andy McPhail, then first he's going to tell us that we were moving in Kentucky bluegrass for the field, and it's going to be now Kentucky blue, and the light bulbs are going to be more of an eco-friendly light bulb, and the concession stands are going to get even more work on in the offseason.
It's got to be Jay Middles.
By the way, Gabe's back, and here's what we're going to do with the hot dog stand. That's what it's going to be. Oh, and we extended the netting. That's
right. The beer cycle
is going to be totally different. The nachos will be served in a bigger helmet now.
The netting is coming.
Yes, that is happening.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. That's probably what he
that's
going
to lead with.
That's probably what it'll lead to. All right. Now, in all seriousness, we did have Doug Peterson yesterday talking about the severity of an injury. Oh, and by the way, Clayton Kershaw is terrible in posting.
It's unbelievable.
This supports my lifelong theory that you should never have a starting pitcher pitch in the postseason unless that guy's name is Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling. That's it. Those are the only guys that can handle it. But here you go. Coming up in a minute, we're going to let you hear from Doug Peterson yesterday. And you tell me, Trey, if this is a head coach questioning a player's toughness when he talks about Sidney Jones possibly or maybe even not playing in this game against the Vikings. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you if you want to get in. Right now, time at the Fanatic is 6:22.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports on FM. It just sounds better. I'm going to say it all day. It was a great commercial. Do you remember this, Trey?
What's that?
When 10 years ago, when 97.5 The Fanatic switched to FM, first FM sports station in Philadelphia, they ran a promotion with Mike Mussinelli saying, sports on FM. It just sounds better.
Oh, okay.
And it did.
Yeah.
Now, I was working somewhere else at the time.
Okay.
And I remember the people that then ran the place were scrambling around trying to tell you how FM sucked.
Ah.
And I remember thinking, well, that's just not true. that's what you're telling me is a falsehood. But I remember that campaign. It still sticks in my brain.
10 years ago,
Trey, where were you?
I was in Jacksonville.
Ah, just loving life.
Yeah, I was playing for Jacksonville.
Hmm. Do you want to hear something really upsetting?
Sure.
Sam, where were you 10 years ago?
Oh, God, don't even.
I was in 8th grade.
Sam was like, I was talking to my babysitter about letting me out of the house.
8th grade.
Yeah, 8th grade.
No, my mom lets me go to the bar all the time, babysitter. Let me just go to the bar. By the way, you know what? We're all you know, laughing it up here, but you know what you can't laugh at? My man Trey Thomas style. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not watching on Twitch right now, twitch.tv, you're wearing... Okay. No. Call it what it is.
What's it? What is it?
It's a fedora.
It is a fedora.
See, and that's not for functional purposes.
Nah, it's just for... Just,
style.
Just coming in. Just work. It matches my shirt.
What'd you think? One of my cousins was coming in today? Come on!
I mean, well, she did hit
Never
me.
Never know.
Okay, that was a different cousin. All right. And I'll tell you that right now about this cousin, you watch it back.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, she's a bit of a firecracker.
That's good.
Sam Wilson, what do we have today for our Twitter poll?
Today's Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning, we just put it up, so we don't have any votes yet. Are you confident Sidney Jones will ever reach his full potential? Yes or no?
Now, this is a guy that was supposed to be a top... Yeah, Jamie.
This might be a 90%er.
Jamie?
I might have to die on this hill.
Goo! Really? Yeah,
I'm really nervous about it.
I thought you would be the one banging the drum, my friend.
I just don't believe he ever will at this point.
All right, done with it.
But I love him from a skill set standpoint.
What?
It's depressing.
Okay, I hope people saw you put your head down on Twitch as you hit your microphone.
Yeah. No, I just don't think he's ever going to
be healthy.
This was a guy that was supposed to be top 10 talent.
He was the number one cornerback in the draft that year.
Number one cornerback in the draft.
Yeah.
We all were there at the Art Museum steps. They take him in the second round.
There's a video of me going nuts because I was live at the draft that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pumped out of my mind.
And let's not forget, in Washington, he was involved in a pretty great secondary. Like, there a lot of great.
Oh, yeah. King on the Packers. Some other guy. Buda Baker, the safety. Mm-hmm. Pretty safe to say Philadelphia should never draft University of Washington products ever again.
So you were wrong on
except
a draft
Thibault,
pick,
who's going to be awesome. Lynch.
Okay.
Am I correct?
I mean, it certainly looks that way.
Okay.
I really hope he
don't
can...
Don't throw stones in glass houses
maybe,
then when it comes to the Phillies.
I'm not paid to be a professional GM. maybe... I don't know.
All right.
He's got to push through injury.
Trey?
I don't have any confidence in that.
Well, Sidney Jones... Oh, no. Here's what I like to do. I don't want to seem like I'm swaying anyone. I will just say out of the gate, the answer to this question is a no. Trey Thomas.
You know what? I'm not going to say no. I think he can. You know, but it has to be a mindset. He's going to have to change it. I never say what a person can't become,
mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, if he goes in, puts in the work, does a little self-evaluation, says that, hey, man, you know what? Every time I get beat, my hamstring does hurt. You know what? I need to start pushing through those or don't get beat.
That's a novel idea.
That would be an awesome idea.
If I was a coach, my first thing that I'd tell him is, hey, don't get beat.
Don't get beat.
That's basically where I'd go
with it. And if you do get beat, because everybody takes a whooping there. I mean, you know, that's going to happen, you know. So don't come up, don't be that guy.
Mm.
Don't be that guy where if you get beat and then now you're pulling something, you're holding something.
Bob Cooney? Will Sidney Jones ever reach his full potential?
Yeah, I don't think so. When New Orleans decided to specifically go after him, both on the run and passing game.
Yeah, but he was hurt at that time.
I know, but
that's the problem with him. He's always hurt.
But my thought was, at that time, people said, oh, this is the game that, you know, when he gets good, you'll go back to this and say, look how much better he's gotten. And I remember thinking, will we? Will that ever happen? I'm leaning towards no.
Is there any more indicting comments than from coaches? And right now, you have a coach last year in Sean Payton that essentially just called out Sidney Jones. I mean, that was Peter King did a great behind the scenes thing, a little tour he did last year. And right before they played the Eagles, the Saints played the Eagles, Peter King was in their camp, if you will. And Sean Payton basically was like, yeah, we're going after 22 all day.
But to me, I don't view that as an indictment on his skill set. I view that as a hurt player that's constantly hurt.
Then he shouldn't have been out there.
Well, the whole entire secondary was hurt last year. You kind of need guys to man up a little bit here at times.
Certainly an argument.
I think his skill is there underneath it all, whether it's mentally he goes to the injury to relieve himself of getting toasted, whether he just has awful muscles that can't stay healthy, whatever it is. I don't think it's his skill. I think it's his health.
All right. Well,
and maybe mindset.
All right. So speaking of those injuries, the other indicting comment that came from a coach was his own coach yesterday, I thought. And Doug Peterson got asked about how regularly a guy like Sidney Jones comes up with a hamstring injury. And here's how Doug Peterson addressed that question yesterday at his press conference.
Well, I think sometimes with an injury, well, I don't care what type of injury, you get to that point where through your rehab and conditioning, you got to push yourself, you know, and you got to bust through and say, okay, I feel good, you know, and I still might be a little sore, but I feel good. And so that's kind of what I mean by that, just kind of that threshold where you kind of break through the glass and you're on the other side of it. And then once you get to that point, you know, all the mental stuff goes away, and now you can just focus on ball again.
Trey, you're obviously the ex-athlete in the room. What's coach saying right there?
Yeah, I need you to suck it up. Yeah, come on. I mean, you know, let's go.
I honestly, no matter what the severity of the injury, whether it is something as, you know, like a tweaked hamstring or something with Avante Maddox, and I saw Avante Maddox in the locker room yesterday in the neck brace, all right? I don't like questioning injury. I'm not going to question injury. But when I hear a coach talk about it like that, he is basically saying, yo, dude, you got time to grow up.
Yeah.
You got a little hammy issue? Get out there and play.
Well, we can't question Avante Maddox injury.
Oh, I'm not.
But when you look at Sidney, it's always he's in chase mode because he just got burnt. And then you had the hamstrings are in cold red now, and boom, then, you know, he's redlining the hamstring and he's done. Well, if you didn't get beat, you wouldn't have this situation. Now it's kind of like, all right, you need to go ahead. Hey, this is the NFL. You got to man up. You can't keep trying to figure out what's wrong. Well, it's because I'm hurt. It's because I'm hurt. Hey, come on, man. We're paying you a lot of money for you to go out there and produce. And if you're not producing, then it's going to be a change.
Bob, you've heard 1,000 press conferences in your time. You know coach speak better than anybody in this room.
Yeah.
When you hear that, he's going after his player a little bit.
He's going after him a lot bit. Yeah, I mean, this is a let's go. And it's almost because it's getting to that point, he's a hair away from being insignificant on this team, because you're getting Jalen Mills back. You know, Avante Maddox is going to come back. You already said Rasul Douglas is playing the best out of anybody. You know, what are they going to do, you know, when other guys come back from injury too? Sidney Jones could be the odd man out here. I mean, this is getting very close to being who? Inactive? Whatever it may be.
You can't count on him.
Yeah. It's very close that this might be his last game that he's playing, because if I'm not mistaken, Jalen Mills can come back the week after, right?
Yes.
I don't know where Ronald Darby is in his recovery.
I thought it was the week after the Cowboys. It is the week after.
After week 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know where Ronald Darby is. Jalen Mills is coming back. Avante Maddox is coming back. Rasul Douglas is playing well. Sidney Jones isn't in that group right now. And unless he has a phenomenal game and does something against Minnesota, he's really close to being pushed to the side.
I talked to Jalen Mills. He's still on track. He's still on pace. Talked to him yesterday. Said he's feeling great, putting in the work, all that stuff. So you might see him back and take a spot from Sidney Jones.
Sure.
Now, when I went back and watched the game from last year against the Vikings, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, double moves.
All day.
Almost every single time. And that was, everyone would criticize guys like Sidney Jones and Jalen Mills for that, even Rasul Douglas. But the double moves that they ran, and it wasn't just like little stutter steps on routes. These were just like double, sometimes triple moves, and that's how they were getting open. So you don't have, obviously, Jalen Mills in this game. We played against him last year. It was Ronald Darby, and it was Sidney Jones' show. A little bit of Avante Maddox as well. But Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs last year, everything was at least a double move when they were running their routes, and they were getting open. Look, I'm looking at Carson Wentz for a huge test. Rasul Douglas, this has to be his best game. For all the good games that he's been playing for the last 4 weeks of the season, this has to be his best one. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Sean Atrevos wants to talk a little bit about Sidney Jones. We got open lines after that. Coming up, we'll give you an update on our Twitter poll at 7 o'clock today as Fanatic All-Star Day continues. Tyrone Johnson will be in studio. We'll get his idea on really the early goings of a parade. That's what we're going to talk about. Ben Simmons making three-point shots. Then all of a sudden, you got a shutout from Carter Hart last night. It's time for a parade already, as far as I'm concerned. Time of the Fanatic is 6:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, Sam Wilson, hit me with a Twitter poll. Where are we at right now?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you confident Sidney Jones will ever reach his full potential? So far, we have just under 600 votes. 88% say no. So it's close to that 90%, Bob.
That is pretty close to 90%. How about that?
Cue a Mike and King of Prussia call, I'm sure, because I'm probably going to lose a bet to him.
I don't know. He's having some phone issues lately. So
yeah, his phone does suck.
Yes, it does.
But I probably am going to owe him a breakfast sandwich.
Hey, real quick, on the Flyers again here, the undefeated Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice little home opener last night.
Yeah.
A couple of things from last night's game.
Heartsy
with a fine little shutout for himself, 4-0. Travis connecting yet another goal. You were lighting the lamp last night. The biscuit was in the basket as you got pucks deep.
Provy.
Here's the thing, though, with Carter Hart.
Azy.
Carter Hart last night had a save on Taylor. What was that kid's name? I'm blanking on his name. But anyway, he had a save on Hall. Tyler Hall, I think his name was.
Taylor Hall, yeah.
Taylor Hall. Thank you.
Halsey?
Yeah.
Save. Halsey. How could you forget?
All the names, yes. It's got jumbled in my brain. But he had a save on him in the first period where he went post to post on him and stopped him.
It was filthy.
Hall tried to go five hole. And then in the second period, had the save of saves. And if you haven't seen this, it's all over the net. Flyers tweeted it out last night. And Carter Hart post to post yet again, stopping, I believe, a one-time opportunity. One-timer. And threw the glove out there. And here's what was miraculous about it. Totally under control when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Was literally going from right to left. Very quick, as you need to do as a goalie.
Because
you're like a cat.
Cat-like.
And poof, glove was out. Totally under control. It was incredible. An incredible save last night on Taylor Hall.
Yeah, I just got to say, their social media team, maybe chill out with mocking the Devils in the post-game tweets.
Why is that?
Because, you know, I don't know. We've played two games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let them have at it.
Hey, we're already in P.K. Subban's brain, man.
By the way, Gritty, Carter Hart was good and all. Gritty won the night.
Gritty did win the night.
That was pretty good.
Did you go and get orange gritty.
Grittified?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
How did that go?
Wait, how do you know that?
You said yesterday you were going to do it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. You didn't do it.
No, I did.
Yeah, he did.
I have a picture.
And yeah, can we see it?
We did
can you
bit.
Put it on your Twitter?
Speaking of freaks,
social
also.
Social media it out?
Yeah.
Pecan Subban's girl, Lindsay Vonn.
Yeah.
She's a freak.
Why?
Ah, yeah.
Gritty was all up.
Yeah, she's...
on her last night.
Yeah. Well, if you're dating Tiger Woods, you're a freak.
That was...
she's not.
Used to be.
She used to be.
It's all right.
That was where I was going.
Freak? Gritty?
No, the fact that P.K. Subban is engaged now to Lindsey Vonn.
Yes.
And Gritty had a sign last night and stood behind P.K. Subban, and it said, P.K. Subban, and it said, Lindsey could do better, and it had arrows pointing to himself, pointing to Gritty. Gritty was holding the sign, and that's what the sign said. Lindsey could do better with arrows pointing.
A-plus work, Gritty.
Phenomenal work. But I did get grittified. And if you have now this is mostly going to be for kids.
What?
Yeah, believe it or not, Jamie. Sorry, you and your Zamboner is not welcome. Anybody can do it any age. And they told me for a full...
5 months old? can I get Skylar Gritty 5?
I wouldn't recommend the fake eyelashes.
Okay, all right.
Because they do fake eyelashes, fake orange eyelashes in this new feature they have down there at the Wells Fargo Center in the Gritty Command Center. And you go in there... And it's pretty cool how they have it set up. They have a couple of barber chairs, you know, right? They got the Gritty cologne going, and they have the powder, and they have the face paint, and they
Gritty
have the eyelash.
What's the cologne smell like?
I didn't get a whiff, unfortunately. Mm.
If it's anything what the Fanatic smells like, I'm not buying.
I would say that it would smell like the inside of a hockey dressing room.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a locker room, a dressing room. That's what I think it would smell like. So I'm not going to go ahead and spray that on me because I don't think I'd be able to get that off myself. But here's the deal. So I walk in there and they give you the full grittification. It takes a half hour for a full grittification.
Hmm.
You could just do the face spray, which is done in a second.
Okay.
But full grittification includes a fanny pack.
Okay.
A Flyers t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
A wig.
Hmm.
Googly eye gritty glasses.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Face paint, the face powder,
eyelashes,
eyelashes, the black eye strips. I forget what you call those.
Oh, okay.
Eye black. Excuse me.
Eye black. Yeah.
And glitter.
Hmm. Glitter.
And I was able to wash all that off within like 5 minutes. So that was a good thing.
How much does that cost? Out of curiosity.
You know, I didn't see the price. I just gave him my credit card and I said, do what you will.
Do me like one of your French
gritties. Yeah, pretty much do one of your French gritties,
I'm curious,
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's actually one of the selections, Bob. It's like, do me like one of your grittiest or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they put eyelashes on you.
They put eyelashes on me. And let me tell you something, ladies.
Tough work.
Yeah, that seems
If one eyelash is a little askewed, that's going right in your retina.
Yeah.
That did not feel good yesterday.
Okay. We should ask Sam about this. She seems to be the
the person that knows the
fake
most
eyelash
about,
person. Yeah.
That knows the most about all this. But no, the new Wells Fargo Center with all the renovations, the $250 million that went into this place. Bob, you were there for the Sixers game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right. It is. It's wow.
This was my first time being able to walk in with all the things going on that are new and all that. I saw the scoreboard weeks ago. I told you guys about it. It's incredible at the Wells Fargo Center. But the new amenities inside and all that stuff, it was absolutely, absolutely incredible. 610-632-0975. And best of all, the Flyers they won last night.
Well, it's exciting that Gritty isn't the best thing about the Flyers this year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like last year, Gritty stole the year.
Mm-hmm. That's the best part about it.
I mean, it's awesome because Gritty's great, but sad. And now Carter Hart.
Carter Hart
is going to steal the show.
25 saves, first career shutout. That's what really gets the people going.
Yeah.
That's what gets the people going, if I say so myself.
Pretty good.
Now, here's what I'm going to do. A little bit later, I'm going to tweet out that photo. We'll send it out in a nice break. That way we have some time to read some of what I'm sure will be nothing but very supportive comments on the photo.
Sure.
Of me fully grittified last night.
Absolutely.
With my new best friend, Ashley, who was the person that was the stylist.
Oh, okay.
Do you know where Ashley went to school to become a grittification person?
No.
Cosmetology school.
Oh, she went to cosmetology school.
Yes, she did.
Well, when you're putting eyelashes on someone, you do need to be educated, I'm guessing.
I would hope
so. You just don't want to just throw glue in just, anywhere.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, be willy-nilly with the glue.
Absolutely. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast.
975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.